It is February 28th. It is 1 o'clock on the West Coast. It is time for Hug Nation. So as we get started, let's surrender into this moment. Let us let go of whatever path brought us here. Let's let go of our to-do list, our identities, our roles, all of the very complicated and very interesting stories, and just surrender into this now. Let's just allow ourselves to be and feel and receive and quiet and notice what comes up. So much of our energy is about receiving what comes in from the outside and processing it and thinking our way through. And let's just try to allow and just notice. So let's try to feel our body for a moment. Can you feel your feet on the ground? Your seat in the chair? The sounds swirling around your world, be they cars or fans or the voice of some guy across the world. All of these are vibrations tickling your ear, being converted to an impulse which is interpreted as a sound, just as light waves are interpreted. And let's let go of all the interpretations and mind games and thought and processing and just receive and be present in this infinite now. Thank you, universe, for all of the gifts available in this now. Help us to see and appreciate and feel. Help us to be grateful and help us to be loving people in the world. Amen. Welcome. I should note that in the opening meditation, as well as in the grace that I say every day when I eat, I ask the universe for things. I say, help me to do this. And I don't actually believe in a universe that has a consciousness that is going, what was that? I believe that us is the universe. And that when I am asking something of the universe, I am trying to call into awareness my higher self, my egoless self, and trying to make that connection to that awareness so that I can then sink back into it and try to kind of shake off some of the rigidness of the mind and ego thoughts that can govern my daily interacting. So if the words don't resonate with you, find some other wording. Words are just symbols, and we all bring to it something. It's very difficult for any two people to exactly be talking about the same thing because of the interpretations that our symbolic language brings back to our interpretation. In the same way, you can never know if you're seeing the same thing. The same light waves could be processed in very different ways. That's one of the kind of fascinating things about the human experience. The fact that it's impossible to know how similar our experiences than anyone else. It also that kind of shines a light on how important it is to own and focus and allow yourself to really be present with your own experience. So much of what we are is defined by how the other sees us. Well, what an opportunity to turn this off. So, welcome everybody. If I haven't mentioned it before, it is an honor to share this time with you, this weekly recalibration of spirit and mind and positivity and love is so helpful for me and I believe the world, because as we resonate with each other, it amplifies it, kind of like two sound waves. When you put them on top of each other, whoo, louder. And when you have all of this vibration of love and connection, it just whoo, and it helps us all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, the topic of the day is drama. What is drama and how do we deal with drama? And I wanted to bring up this topic because of a recent dialogue that I was in online with a bunch of friends. And as the conversation was going and certain people had heated thoughts in one way or the other, it became clear to me that this is a good example of when language can be very limiting or can cause people to have very different perceptions about what is being said. And so I wanted to talk about the term drama, what I believe that to be, and then, you know, what is the responsible way to deal with drama in our lives and in our relationships. So this came up when a friend posted in reference to I'm going to read what she wrote. She said, "While I'm at this upcoming festival, I will be creating a drama-free zone all around me. I will still love all of you and will feel sad if you are hurting, but I will not be diving into any painful, stressful drama until I am out of that situation. Just planting the seed so that I can grow some strong roots before I go. Hearts, hearts, hearts." And my response was, yeah, kudos, good for you. Set your boundaries, establish what you need to have an experience that you want so that you can be joyful and filled with joy and so that you can refill your well as that is your intention for this weekend. And a number of people heard her statement as being cold and as being unlike something that a real friend would say. And let me just take a moment and say that every part of the conversation on all sides of this issue, I feel very honored and respect, and I think that everyone had a valid perspective. I want to just speak to this situation because I found it to be a good one for me to exercise and think about how I think about these things. And my way is not right or wrong. Neither is any other way. This is the belief buffet, as always. These are just thoughts, ways of thinking about something that tastes good to me at this time in my life and my journey. And if you chew on it, it tastes good, swallow it. If it doesn't, or if it doesn't, little tart or bitter, or spit it out. And I hope that any of my friends that were a part of any of these conversations recognize that I'm sharing this from a place of love and trying to understand for myself as well. So a number of people felt that saying I don't want to be a part of drama was cold. And that made me think about, well, what is, to me, drama? How would anyone want to defend the idea of drama? And I think that sometimes people confuse the term drama with any sort of emotional outpouring or pain or expression. And so people heard this statement of I wanted no drama zone as being, you know, if you are struggling in any way, I don't want to know about it. I don't see it that way. I see drama as being kind of an optional choice to visit a story that causes you pain or suffering. Suffering, actually. Pain is the unavoidable. Pain is you just broke up with someone and they're not there and you feel this absence and you're dealing with this vacuum of where they used to be in your life. That's pain and that's unavoidable. Suffering is the story of that you tell yourself to kind of pick at the scab and about, oh, well, you know, I always thought we were going to go to Europe together. Now I'm never going to go to Europe. You know, I gave him the best years of my life. Now I've got this. You know, he said he was going to do this, and now that's never going to happen. All of these story things that I believe to be optional. It requires discipline of trying to recognize when those thoughts come. And it doesn't mean that you there isn't a value to enjoying that, to going to that place. I use the word enjoy because I think that a lot of people do enjoy the process of being in a painful state. I know I certainly can and have and do, where you kind of feel that righteous indignation about how someone has treated you and you feel totally justified in being unhappy. And it becomes like an old itchy sweater that you know itches, but it reminds you of something that's comfortable. Not physically comfortable, but, you know, a comfortable place where you're at. And so you put it on, and you're itchy, and maybe you're complaining about the itch, all the while it's a choice to be wearing that sweater. And so I think saying I want a no drama zone is saying, look, if you want to talk about how to remove this sweater, if you want to try to make sense of this pain that you're in so that we can try to grow and move on from that, I'm here for you as a friend. If you need to just spend some time in your itchy sweater, at this time, I'm not available to just spend time itching. We have a culture that is very much encouraged to talk about our itching. We have support groups, we have water cooler conversation that is generally about what's wrong. People come back from weekends, and sometimes people share the good stuff, but it's almost like you're considered rude and full of yourself if you talk about all the great things that are happening in your life. We're very much encouraged to apologize for good things or to make excuses. And so by saying, you know, look, I don't want to be in the drama, I think part of that is saying, look, I really want to lift. I want to spend my energy on lifting and ascending and taking whatever pain and emotion and stuff and challenges that are going on, and I want to climb from there. And so if you're in that space, I'm not saying we can't share a tear and be there for one another. I'm saying let's do so as we help each other up. And I think saying no drama might make people feel like, oh, you're saying that if I'm in a bad place, you're just going to leave me in the darkness. No, I'm not going to leave you in the darkness. It says I'm not going to climb into your cave with you. I will reach a hand. I will help give you a flashlight. I will, you know, take some of the burden as we move on. But if you just want to talk and hang out in the cave, at this time, that's not something that I'm interested in. We often believe that I just want to vent about this, you know. And we tell ourselves that venting and retelling a story is helpful. That is a belief I don't agree with. I don't think that retelling your negative story helps you grow from it. That is one of the fundamental challenges with, you know, talk therapy, is there's this belief that if you just keep talking things through that you will get better. And research has shown that that isn't necessarily true. Now, if you can talk to a problem and discover what the core issues that are causing you to have this pattern, so that then you can identify it, so that then you can take off the itchy sweater, that's different. That's different than just revisiting the pain because, you know, it's a comfortable place. So now this line of extending a hand to help, pulling you if you are willing to get out of the darkness and letting go if you just want to stay there, is a extremely delicate and challenging and hard to navigate line. I would say it's very much an art, not a science. And it's one that is very easy to see as being cold. When you, especially if you in your mind define parts of friendship as being someone that you commiserate with. And then if that friend then decides, you know what, I'm finding that for my joy, for me to be a positive person, a helpful, loving burst of light in the world that can then shine light on darkness, I need to spend less of my energy getting into the muck with people. That has been a shift in my perspective on the world and who I am in the world. It has not always been the case, and so I am trying to be aware and conscious when people who see that as being rude or cold or unfeeling. I mean, a lot of the people that I've been studying over the last few years just hammer that home of like, look, find the joy. That is not blinders. That is not rose-tinted glasses. That is focusing your energy in the direction that is doing the most good for you in the world. And that's what Abraham talks about. That's what Jacob Glass talks about. That's what Byron Katie talks about. Byron Katie talks about, I was reading something that she wrote a couple days ago, and it was talking about how, about accepting reality. And really, I think that's a big part of this no drama, is saying, look, if you want to just play the loop of this sucks, I'm not interested. If you want to establish that we accept the situation and then climb from it, that's not drama. That's a treasured emotional connection with somebody. That is love. We sometimes confuse love as being, join me in the suffering. I would argue that love is saying, I see that you're suffering, and I want to help you to see that that is as it is, and when you're ready, let's go to a place where we can see the gifts that are all over the place. Byron Katie said that you know, loving what is an act of accepting reality and then acting from the place of this is the way it is, and not taking on the suffering and the pain and the hurting of the way it is, and then you're stuck in the muck. If you say, oh, this is the way it is, I am now jobless, or now I'm now this, you say, okay, now what is my action? And from that place of clarity and lack of pain, you can act from love. So the very same, you know, movements that you're attempting are progress, our growth, are towards you being lighter, the world being lighter, your relationships being lighter, and moving that, processing the pain and eliminating the optional suffering. I had a experience this last Burning Man with my partner, where we had talked in advance and kind of established for ourselves a no drama zone, where we said, look, Burning Man is a very emotional place. It is there, the conditions are extreme, the sleep is minimal, there's all sorts of things that can make you at your edge. And so we spoke to each other and said, look, if we find ourselves really testy or feeling like we're thick in drama, can we acknowledge that we will deal with this when we get home, if possible? And we came into a situation midweek where, because of, you know, I don't want to, you know, say that, you know, female hormones make a difference in someone's personality, but, you know, I read that someplace. And so let's say there were female hormones at stake, and let's say there was sleeplessness, and let's say there was all sorts of factors going on. And we had a tension. And we lovingly said, let's take a break from this issue, this conversation, and pick it up when we have some time and we're not in this place that's so special and so much about growth and expression and lifting. It's such a treasure. This time in this place is such a treasure. Let's not bring our drama here. And so that conversation, you know, was a little tense, but we both acknowledged that it was what we needed to do. And by the time a couple days passed, that issue did not exist, and we were both so grateful that we had not spent several days of our vacation, treasured time, in a place of fighting. So I think that's an example of how setting a no drama zone can work beautifully, and it's something that I've tried to ask. You know, I've tried to, you know, within the Pink Heart camp, of saying, look, can we try to have a no drama zone? And the similar issues have come up of people going, well, would not be there for people? No. I'm saying that if you find yourself falling into a script with, say, your ex-girlfriend or something like that, is this a script that you guys can say, this is not helping anything? Or is this you processing stuff to try to elevate? If you're processing to elevate, awesome. If you're stuck in a script because you like the itchy sweater, that's unfair to ask other people to join you. So I guess what I would, you know, say is that I love being a open-hearted friend to people. I love being a reminder to people and a reflection to people of the gifts, of the abundance, of the joy. And if I can do that and be that and love this person and see them as their best, as a way of trying to help them from the darkness to the light, then I want to be that. And I'm willing to receive, and I'm willing to put my energy and my time into being that kind of friend for somebody. But if I feel like somebody has made the choice that that's not what they want, they actually are not really looking to change the situation, they just need to be there for a little bit longer, that's fine. But I hope that they understand that I'm holding a place for them up on the throne. Maya Angelou said, be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. So, if you are hurting right now, if you are feeling like you've got drama nipping at you, let's let go of all of our stories for a moment and let's have a Hug Nation hug together. So wherever you are, grab yourselves by the shoulders. Let go of any stories. Let go of the personality. Let go of the drama. Let go of any labels that you might have on your emotions and just allow yourself to experience those feelings. This physical shell takes us through the world. Our emotional shell takes us through the drama of the world. But it is beneath all of those shells, our core, our heart, our divine spark, that is what we need to hold on and support and help one another to surface. It is that fire that needs to have its fans flamed. Flames fanned. So as we notice our divine fire inside, we forgive ourselves for getting caught up into our drama. We forgive everyone else for getting caught up in their drama. And we see the fire in them. We see their perfection. We love them so deeply that no matter what they're going through, no matter what pain they're in, that we can embrace them, we can hold them, we can hold space for whatever they are experiencing and know that they are on the path of growth and evolution, ever more loving, ever more joyful. And that if we need to keep our footing in joy as we do that for them, that is from a place of love. So let's feel the strength of our loving footing. Let's feel the strength of our open hearts. And let's feel connected to all the people in our lives. Let all the circumstances and issues and drama just drip away until it's just beams of heart connecting all of us. Feel that light shooting out of your chest into all the people you've encountered this week. And then feel that shoot right back into you until your whole body is bright light. And then pow, out of the top of your head, feel that light just rocket into the universe. And then pull back and see the whole planet as this billions of brilliant lights shooting out of the tops of all these perfect people's crowns. And just for a second, let's take a deep breath and just feel a part of that light, brilliant, beautiful, loving ball. One more. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. Thank you for being such a brilliant light. Thank you for working through your darkness. Thank you for being supportive and open and growing and an ambassador to the world for all that you are. Thank you for your gifts, for your lessons, for your story, and for the pure love that's beneath all of it. Thank you. I love you. Namaste. Baxter, you just said something interesting. You said, I can't hug everybody. My arms aren't that long. And, you know, I every once in a while I talk about kind of the concept behind Hug Nation as I see it. And you just illustrated it in that a hug is that physical process where you embrace someone. But it's not so much about the physical embrace. It's about that energetic thing that happens when you surrender your ego and they surrender that ego, and the me becomes a we in that moment, and you just kind of sink into a single energy, a single just loving moment, thing, experience, vibration. And as you said, physically, it's very hard to do that with hundreds of people, thousands of people, millions of people. But intentionally, you can absolutely do that surrender from a me to a we. You can absolutely have the intentional and energetic and spiritual hug, which is where your ego dissolves and you just melt into that loving connection. And so that's why we call it Hug Nation. Not about a physical hug. Over time, I've actually become quite a practiced and a pretty impressive hugger. I won't dim my light, but Hug Nation began not about physical hugs at all. It was about the idea of hugs. And so that's what we try to do here, is the intention of a hug, the spiritual and energetic expression of connection. Mm. Melting Halo asked an awesome question about the drama situation, and that is, what does one do when they are in the hole, not to drag others in? Oh, thank you for asking that. That is an awesome question. Because the very nature of discussing this drama makes one kind of afraid to share their heart. You don't want to be considered a drama queen. You don't want to be considered, you know, dwelling on things, and you don't want to be a burden on your friends, even though you may actually really need help or need to discuss or need to process or even need to just sit in that darkness. And how can you do that in a way that is respectful and honoring of your friends and yourself? That is a hard question. I think that what I try to do is acknowledge that I'm processing things and try to, as I am restating or being aware of negative things, remind myself that it's okay and it's something that I'm working on, and that this is not a place that I want to be staying, even if I need to be here right now, which kind of opens the door for people to say, oh, you know, it's not a pit that you're in, it's a stairway, and you can then, you know, make steps as you see fit, and people can give you permission to come with them. And, you know, a lot of it is about trying to reframe it to yourself as you explain it to others, and recognizing that whatever darkness or whatever frustration or whatever pain that you're in, and reframing it in a place of, this is the experience, the lesson, or even asking the question, what is the lessons of this place? Why did I have to go through this? And it may not be something you can answer so easily. But I think that is a really good exercise of trying to figure out, well, what possible way could this have happened where it didn't get me so upset? I heard something recently where it's like, any time if something gets you emotionally stirred up, then you will continue to have experiences like it until you get to a point where the experience can happen to you and it doesn't stir you up. Whether that is a breakup, whether that is a job firing, whether that is financial struggles, whether that is body issues, health, anything that gets you worked up and in a place of drama and suffering, then that is the classroom and that is the class that you will continue to take. And so if you can ask yourselves and ask others to maybe help you see what possible surrender is there in this situation for me, what possible lesson, what possible even good, what possible strength could I have, what possible growth. And so even as you talk and dwell on the painful things, allowing your friends to be somebody who is an ally in the growth, and allowing them to kind of have that, like maybe even giving them that role of like, hey, can you keep one hand on the ship as you reach down beneath the waters and try to pull me up? And at the same time, it's totally okay to say, hey, I'm hurting. Can you just be with me as I am in this place? I also, that repeatedly, over and over and over and over and over, visiting a place that causes you pain, I think it's time to say, okay, how can I, either by myself or with others, help, or with instructional teachers like Byron Katie, how can I change the script if I want it changed? That isn't to say that you can't say, okay, today I give myself permission to just wallow. Today is an ice cream and pajamas day. That's fine. But if you have a friend that says, hey, you know what, today I'm just not available for ice cream and pajamas, you gotta be like, cool. Can we put that on the calendar? Because I need some ice cream pajamas days with my girl. That's cool. And that was the cool thing about what this person said in their post. They were saying, look, I got no pajamas and ice cream during this window, but as soon as we get back from that trip, call me up. I'll bring the Ben and Jerry's. And I think that's a totally acceptable way to define it for yourself and for others. Piety says, gratitude. Gratitude is always the way out of darkness. Oh, hallelujah. That is an exceptional reminder. Gratitude is the core of everything. Gratitude is the fundamental building block of all spiritual growth. Because gratitude is what the steps on which you crawl out of the darkness are made out of. The process of reminding yourself of your gifts, of your blessings, of the opportunities, is the way that you shrink the focus on all that is wrong and all that is causing you pain. It's crap or cone. And that even while there's darkness happening, finding gratitude for what you have, finding gratitude for the experience, finding gratitude for the lessons, finding gratitude for the past, finding gratitude for the potential is everything. Because what that does is that resets your baseline. And it becomes so easy to take things for granted, to start. I mean, there's a reason why when they do studies of lottery winners, and they look at their baseline happiness, they win the lottery, they have the spike, and then they go right back to where they were, even with, you know, $100 million in the bank. Because our baseline creeps, and we start to take for granted so much of what is in our life, and then we just start to evaluate our happiness based on this new false baseline. I mean, the example that I like to give is that I got to a point in my life where I knew that I had really become a success, where I really, how could I ever complain? When I got this thing in my apartment, it's in the other room, and it's got these two nozzles on it that shoot water out of them at whatever temperature I want. Like, I just go, oh, you know what? I just want to be just showered with drinkable, very hot water that almost burns me, that makes me all tingly. And then, you know what? I don't even want to really clean it up. I just want it to just go down a little hole in the ground. And then it's like a freaking miracle. But if I don't remind myself, then I complain about the water pressure. Or I wish I had better tiling. Or I wish, oh my gosh, the fixtures in the bathroom are so outdated. And if you let the baseline creep up, then the amazing things about life, you stop even noticing. Gratitude is what helps you keep that going, keep that in check, so that you start to go, opposable thumbs? Badass! And when you snap into that, practice that, then it's very hard to be depressed when you are focused on gratitude. And you practice gratitude. In fact, that's, if you are not thinking that life is awesome, then keep a gratitude list. I think I may have to sign for this package. Let's see. Thank you. Okay. She's bringing one more package. Awesome. Do you guys have, does anyone in the chat room have opposable thumbs? Who's got opposable thumbs? This guy. What is that thing? Who's got two opposable thumbs and stoked with life? This guy. Big ups for the thumbs. Really, it's miraculous. I mean, yeah, the simple things, becoming, practicing not taking things for granted, and becoming aware of the gifts in every moment. That's part of the reason we do the opening meditation and mindfulness, and it's the grace, the gratitude moment that I say once a day before, at least once a day before every meal, is, universe, thank you for all of these gifts. Help me to remember, help me to focus on these gifts. And that's me talking to my higher self saying, don't let me get out of whack. Don't let my baseline get so out of whack that I don't see all of the magic. Because what happens is when you tweak that baseline and you start to see the magic in the small things, the universe goes, oh, here's somebody who is responsible and who appreciates it. Let me give him something awesome. And then when you go, whoa, thank you, this is awesome, more please. And the universe goes, man, I like giving to this person. Let's give him some of this. And you go, yay. And then it's just this. The better it gets, the better it gets. Law of Attraction is about that. What's sometimes not funny, but it's a bummer that people who are unhappy are the ones who fight the hardest against this kind of thinking. They will argue against that belief that you can think yourself happy, that you can focus on good things and more good things will happen to you. And it's like, well, I'm not sure why you're arguing for your limitations, but the universe will absolutely give them to you. Oh! It would be so wonderful if we could stay connected. So, I have left a trail of breadcrumbs outside my home, but if you are not near here, let's stay connected on, say, Facebook or YouTube. My Facebook friends list is a little full, so you can subscribe to me on Facebook or subscribe on YouTube. On Twitter or on Anybeat. I mentioned the breadcrumbs. I would be an honor to stay connected and to keep reflecting this amazing vibration that, well, I think you know what I'm talking about. Have an amazing week. Know that you are a gift to the world. I appreciate you being an ambassador, and I love you.